To be taxed with Mary as a spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. He shall find the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
Good evening. If you would now join me in singing our hymns for this evening, page, what are we doing first? 277, Hark the Herald, Angels Sing.
And then nature. So we'll be seeing.
Bruce, can you remember plugging that tree? It's on the back side of the rail there. I saw that when I was singing. We need to have the light on the tree tonight. It's good to see you this evening. Thank you for coming. Merry Christmas to you. I hope that either you have had or are about to have some good time with family and friends celebrating Christmas, and we're glad that you came here to First Baptist tonight with us. We've been spending time this month during our Sunday sermons talking about what child is this? What child is this manger? What child is this in the manger? What child is this who Mary is holding? What child is this that the angels are singing about? What child is this the shepherds are so excited to come and see? We've been asking, what child is this? And looking at the scripture for some answers to that question. And we've seen that this child is the Word, the one who was with God, the one who was God from the very beginning. Through him, everything that has been made was made. And we're grateful that he's the Word. This child is the Son, the best expression of who God is, the exact representation of who God is. He came to show us what God is like. You want to know what God is like? We look at Jesus Christ and we find who our God is. He came as the Son. He came as one who did a better work of salvation than anything God had ever done before, which is really saying something, because God has done a lot of wonderful things. And yet the Son comes to offer his own blood, and he offers salvation that's once and for all. It's available for you and for me and for anyone else who'd come to him. So that's who this Son is. This child in the manger is one who is with us and for us and cares about us. He's had the manger experience. He knows what it is to be weak and to be powerless, to be vulnerable. He knows what it is to have hardship and difficulty. And now that he's died and he's been raised from the dead, he's ascended to the heavenly throne room and he is interceding for us. And he's doing it with compassion because he's had this whole life on earth filled with manger experiences and cross experiences and everything in between. So he's rooting for us. That's who this child is. And this child wants to come into our lives. We have the opportunity to own him. He can be yours. He can be mine. But if that's going to happen, we have to be his. He says you try to save your own life, you try to gain the whole world, it's going to fall apart. He said, but you give your life to me and you'll find it. And so we have to enthrone him in order to own him. He really must be king in our hearts and our lives. That's what this child is. He's come to be savior. He's come to be king. And we've got one more line. We'll sing the hymn in a minute that we've been singing all Advent season long, What Child Is This? And in the chorus of that hymn, we've got one more line, and that line is this: haste, haste to bring him laud, which translated means hurry up and worship him. Come quickly, let's praise him, let's worship him. Haste, haste to bring him laud. And I think it's interesting that 150 years ago when this hymn was written, that the author of the hymn used the phrase haste, haste. Because if you look around at Christmas today, we got a whole bunch of haste, don't we? We've got haste, haste to get out all the decorations and put them all up and figure out where they go, right? Haste, haste to run to the store and buy all the ones that broke and need to replace. But we've got haste, haste to go to the store and get all the deals and get all the presents, and haste to get them all wrapped, and then haste to open them again. We want to do that, right? And then haste, haste to make all the food and all the cookies and all the gluten-free bread for communion and everything else we have to haste, haste to make. And then haste, haste to eat it all. And then haste, haste to have special services and cantatas and Christmas Eve services and all the rehearsing and preparing and all that. We've got haste from start to finish throughout December, throughout the Advent season. And haste isn't necessarily bad, right? I mean, you can make haste to do a good thing, or you can make haste to do a bad thing. But then the other thing we got to be careful about is sometimes we can make haste to do an ordinary, okay, mediocre thing, and we miss out on what's more important. And so the chorus of this hymn that we're going to sing in a little bit says the most important thing to make haste to do at Christmas is to come and bring laud and bring praise to this baby in the manger, the Word who became flesh, the Son, the King. We want to come and bring him praise. That's what we want to do. Now, as I said on Sunday, if he's king in our hearts, if we've enthroned him like the hymn suggests, that's going to be no problem. When Jesus is our king, we want to come and give him praise. And we've come tonight because we want to do that. We want to bring him laud and praise and worship. But sometimes, if we're honest, if we look about not just December, but we look back over the year in the past, sometimes we haven't always made haste to worship him. We've made haste maybe to do other things instead. And when that happens, sometimes we find there's a competition for king in our hearts. We've got a battle for who's Lord going on. And so at that point, we want to make haste and confess and repent and ask the Lord to help us to do differently, that we would live for him, that he would be king. And the reason we can do that with confidence is because of what Jesus made haste to do. He made haste to come and to save us, to forgive us. This baby in a manger says that God is for us and not against us. It says that he hasn't come to condemn us, he's come to save us. It says that God doesn't hate us, God loves us, and he wants us to come to him. And so we have that opportunity. It's good news to make haste and come to worship this son, this child in the manger. In a moment, we're going to have this communion meal together. And if you're here normally on Sunday, we know we usually pass it all out and pass the tray along, and we take the bread and then we take the cup. But tonight you have the opportunity, if you're able, to come forward and receive it. And we receive two things. We receive this bread, which represents Jesus' body, and we receive this cup of juice, which represents Jesus' blood. And when we eat the bread, it's the bread of life to us. It's symbolic of the life that Jesus offers to us. And when we drink the cup, it's symbolic of his blood that he shed to cleanse us, to set us free so that we can serve God again. And so we come to receive these gifts of life and of salvation from God. And there's a lot of different ways to bring worship and praise to Jesus Christ tonight. But maybe one of the best ways is to come and to do him the honor of receiving the gift again that he has desired to give to us. And so I invite you to do that as we come in a few minutes, to make this an act of worship. We get to physically come and walk. He came all the way from heaven to earth. We come down just barely. I mean, we hardly move at all. He's come to us. But we come to receive of him, and we trust that he's present when we do that. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, we're going to sing all three verses in the chorus of this hymn, What Child Is This?, that we've been studying all month together. And I often ask you to use that as a time to prepare your heart for communion, for coming to the Lord's table. And after we sing that hymn, I'll invite the deacons to come, and I'll give some instructions. But we've made haste all month long to do all sorts of things. And now, in these moments, we make haste to come and bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've come to be with us. You, the Word made flesh, the Son of God, Savior and King. You've come because you love us, and we're so very grateful. We're so very thankful. And so, Lord, we pray that in these moments that you would deepen the desire in our hearts to worship you, not just as we sing and as we eat and as we drink, but as we go from this place. We pray that we would just want to worship you, that we'd want to sing your praises, that we'd want to make you known. We thank you for this time we have to be in this place on Christmas. And we pray your blessing on everything we're about to do. And we ask it in your precious name. Amen. You can remain seated as we sing this as a prayer to prepare for communion, and Bill will lead us in song.
Shepherd, watch our keeping.
So we sung about him, and now we come to receive from him the gift that he offers to us. Some of you have made a decision to receive him as King, as Savior, as Lord of your life a long time ago. Others of you may be on the fence about making that decision right now. And whenever you made it, you're welcome to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We'd be happy for you to join with us tonight. I'm going to invite the deacons to come who are serving. And as they come, I'll just give you a few instructions. You don't need to be a member of a church to receive this meal. And the bread is gluten-free. We're going to come up the diagonal aisles here. So we'll have two servers here with bread and a cup. And we'll have two servers here with bread and a cup. And you can use the middle aisle or the outside aisles to return to your seats. And we're going to, well, we've got four of you here. I can come around if anybody needs to be served in your seat. I'd be happy to come and do that for you with the bread and with the cup. Well, Jesus was born in a manger, and many years later, he was with his followers in an upper room on a Thursday night. And he knew that he was going to be put to death on a cross the next day. And they were celebrating the Passover meal, and Jesus gave it new meaning because now he says it's all about him and what he's about to do. He took the bread, he gave thanks, and after he given thanks, he broke it. And he said to them, and he says, even down through the years to you and me, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup. And he gave the cup new meaning. He says, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And Jesus tells us that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim his death until he comes. We proclaim the greatest act of love that has ever been shown until the greatest victory is ever seen clearly when he comes again. And so it's with somberness that we remember that he died for our sins, but also great joy to remember that he's coming again. I will serve each of the deacons, and then they'll take their places, and after they do, you're welcome to come. If you do need it brought to your seat, just slip up your hand, and I will bring it to you. The body of Christ. Okay, see the blood of Christ. Thank you. Who's not been served, who'd like to be served. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to earth to offer to us great salvation. That you came to show us what love really is. That you shed your blood on the cross, you gave your body for us. And we thank you that you've defeated our worst enemy of death itself. We thank you that you're alive forever. We thank you you've given us your spirit. We thank you that you're coming again. And we thank you for this opportunity to gather in this place tonight to worship you. So we pray now as we prepare to close in song and as we go from this place, that our hearts would remain close to you, not far away, that we would know that you're right with us and you love us. We pray you deepen our faith, that our encounter of you would increase, that we'd know you more and more and we'd experience more and more of your peace. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen. Well, we're going to close, as we often do, by singing Silent Night, and we'll do it by candlelight. And I'll pass the light and get it started with each section here. And as soon as everyone has the candles lit, we'll sing this as the closing song. And we'll let the song be the last word. And if you could at least leave the sanctuary quietly, that'd be good, and you can visit and fellowship out in the narthex, that'd be wonderful. But we do want to end with some quiet on Silent Night. Let it be a grateful quiet, not a disappointed quiet, but a grateful quiet that Christ has come to meet again with us. And we'll pass the light around, and then after we do that, we'll sing the hymn together. Would just pass it along your row and send it on back. Before we sing, I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Thank you for coming. Let's sing the Lord's praises together, Silent Night.